open our Bibles to the Song of Solomon. And as the Lord had encouraged my heart to reveal his thoughts for this, the bridal or the bride's journey in the Song of Solomon. And this is us. Hallelujah. It's exactly what this is. This is us. It details what our journey will be. And we're thankful to this beyond anything that we know that this is his desire, his work. It's for his good pleasure. And I thank God that he has given us this time, as brother said, about now. We're here now. We're in this now. Praise God. I'm thankful for all the things that had been done, for all the wonderful fathers of the faith that came before us. But I am so grateful to God that God delayed for me a better thing. And so, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and read verse 1 together. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The Song of Songs. This is our song. Thanks be to God. This is elevated above any song. This is elevated above any singing that's ever happened, ever been written. And thanks be to God, this is ours. And we know this. And the reason we know this is because this is the heart and the revelation, praise God, of Paul's gospel. This is the revelation, praise the Lord, of the mystery of Jesus Christ and the church. Now, the woman who is the focus of this is mentioned one time in one verse, the Shulamite. The Shulamite. Now, the name Shulamite, it does mean peace, but even more accurately, it means perfect. How fitting. Praise be to God. And that word Shulamite, the root of that word, has three meanings: complete, performed, and reward. You think about our God, how concisely powerful he is. But in those three things, complete, performed, and reward, you really have everything of Paul's gospel. Turn with me over to Colossians 1, verse 25. Let's think of complete. In Colossians 1, 25, Paul tells us here, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill. That means to complete the word of God. What was given to Paul for you and for me completes the word of God, completes Jesus. And here it is in verse 26, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. Praise be to God. And not manifest to his saints. Where is it manifest? Praise God. It's in his saints. Praise God. And that's what we're so thankful to God, is that he has given this to us. This mystery that has been hid. As I hear time and time again about the Song of Solomon, it means this. It teaches love to, between a man and a woman. It teaches all of these different things. They talk around it. They talk about something, literature about it. But yet we know what this is. This is the mystery that was hid from the ages. This was written for us, because the Bible tells us so. And we thank God that what was given to Paul, it unlocked and revealed every bit of this mystery. All of you, if you'd like to say, the decoding, whatever it might be, praise God, it's been made plain and written down upon our hearts. And this is what we have. So there you have complete. Turn on over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's think of performed together. And notice these are things that have been done. Things that it's not a maybe, it's not an if, it's finished. So in chapter 1, verse 6 of Philippians, it says, being confident of this very thing. Isn't that gorgeous? It just hones you down to one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. And we now have the complete, the performed, and now let's go over to the reward, which is Romans 8:18. And how glorious this is to us. It says in Romans 8:18 that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You talk about a reward, there it is. Is his glory enough of a reward? Is his glory to glory your life? Praise God. Is the pearl of great price that you are for him, is that enough of a reward? Oh, praise the Lord. How complete. Hallelujah. How performed it is. Praise God. And what a reward. Remember as we said about the money that was brought into the temple? The thing longed for. And here she is. Here she is. So again, the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here it is. Everything awaits this, the apocalypse, the unveiling. Aren't you thankful you know the word of God? Aren't you grateful to God that he's brought us to this point? That my goodness, all of these verses, all of these chapters, it's just like this glorious chorus and symphony that plays to us all at once. The line upon lines have been drawn together. All of it, praise God, so perfectly fits. It's made manifest. I was reading about Adam, and it said, and God, it's so sweet. It says that he made her. That means he built her. And it wasn't just God made a woman. He built a wife. It's exactly what he's done. This is exactly what he's accomplishing here. And again, that only the word of his grace in fullness can produce. Now, going back to the Song of Solomon, we pick up right at the beginning of this song. And it begins, brothers and sisters, and really note this. This is after the acceptance of marriage at the well. We're not picking it up at the beginning. My goodness, we're picking it up, praise God, where she's about ready to go. And I thank God that, yes, she's already of the family, but she's also the choice one of her mother. She has been told this, and the reason we know this is because of this response in verse 2. And this response in verse 2, by the way, this is what carries her all the way along in the Song of Songs. She says there, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. It all begins with a kiss. Oh, hallelujah. And not just a kiss. This word kiss, it means fire. It means a flame. This is a kiss that equips her with love so fierce, it's the weapon that she will carry with her in victory all the way through the Song of Solomon. Thanks be to God. And note this, brothers and sisters, it's his love. She is speaking of what he is, of his love. I love this dialogue that she has with him. She has such boldness, and she knows it's all from him. In the first 9 verses, you're going to find out she says, kiss me. Then she says, draw me. And then she says, tell me. She knows him. She knows where all of the abundance is. It's him. It's all you. I just want you to do it. I want you to tell me. I love to hear your words. I just want you to draw me. Don't think about in a courtship. Think about even in your marriage. Don't you love to be told that you're loved? Don't you love your spouse to tell you that I desire you? If that's not going on in your marriage, get it going on. This is our Lord, and this precious life knows where the whole source of that geyser is. It's Him. God is love. He's love. And He's passionate and He's fervent. And these kisses that she realizes that He has, they set me aflame. Oh. Now, this love is the power for everything. And it's His love. Think of this. Love is the power for everything. You want faith. You want faith that works effectually. You want faith, praise God, that even could move mountains. Well, let me tell you how faith works. It works by love. That's the truth. And it's the Holy Ghost that takes that love and sheds the love abroad in your heart. And when the love is shed abroad in your heart, the Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that beautiful? It casts out all fear. So see, if I'm not fearing, you know what I'm doing? I'm believing. And I thank God because, and I'll say it this way, whatsoever is not of faith is fear. So when I'm not fearing by the grace of God, I'm full of this wonderful faith. And how did it get there? Perfect love. It gets there through that perfect love. So here she cries out from the very beginning, kiss me and kiss me and kiss me more. Now, for you to say that to the Lord, how many Christians do you ever hear say that to the Lord? Not many, do you? Because you know why? This saint... This woman, the bride, the one that has already said, I do, she has a deep revelation of truth and love. Oh, yes, she does. That's why she's out the gate calling to Him. Now, brothers and sisters, we know this journey. And that's a journey. Once you said, I do at the well, and you said, I'll go, you're on the camel train. You're gone. And you're the wife. You're the treasure. The thing longed for is coming home. But we got a ways to go. Oh, yeah, we do. And the journey, praise God, is a glorious, beautiful, beautiful thing because it's the trying of our faith. But let's never forget Genesis 24. It's all about the proposal. It's all about the marriage. It's all about the wedlock. One half of one verse talks about the journey in all of those 60-some verses. Think of that. And yet most people, their thoughts and they're just encompassed with the journey. We need to be encompassed with, praise God, it's finished, it's done. We're there, I'm seated, praise the Lord. He's telling us all the things we're going to enjoy together. And He wants us there, praise God, calling those things which be not as though they were. That's what in love does. That's what in love is. Now, the requirement of the Holy Ghost, you know it. We need to be filled. You can't call out to Him with this kind of fervent, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, without that infilling. You cannot go on in that kiss me without the fullness. To ever really begin to fall in love with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, but that's where the Song of Solomon begins. That's why, by the grace of God, let it just capture your heart. You're right there at the well. This is where we're at. This is right after the proposal and marriage contract is accepted and signed. And I love precious sister just sending to me such a precious encouragement about let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. We know where a kiss comes from, but let me tell you something. There's an emphasis about this mouth. This word mouth, it means the well or the river. Think of that. Don't you love to be kissed by Him at the well over and over? See, this is where that wedlock, the divine intimacy talk is given back and forth. This is where even the Samaritan woman at that well, this is, I'll tell you what, this is where she was transformed. This is where she received so much love from a man that knew everything about her but loved her with a passion that even though he told everything about her, Oh, there's a lot of Christians that could tell everything about you and you'd want to go out and hang yourself. But all she wanted to do is go take that love wherewith she was loved and go love her whole household with it. See, this is the love we're talking about. But then as God encourages, and as that precious sister was saying, she said, did you know that that mouth, it means the edge or the side? See, brothers and sisters, let him kiss me that side. Think of the rib portion. Let him kiss me with that portion. Let me inflame my heart. Praise God that I am the bride for the Lamb. We need to hear that. You need to hear your husband tell you that he loves you. You need to hear your husband tell you that he adores you, that you're everything, that there isn't anything else. Listen to him describe you. Listen to him tell you how lovely you are. What do you want to hear? I want to hear him. And this is what he tells us. This is what he tells us who we are to him. See, the first thing that she says truly, Jesus, love me. Just love me. I will let you love me. Have me. Kiss me and kiss me again. Equip me to go on. I just need more grace. See, for him to tell me how beautiful I am and to tell me how he adores me like he does, let me tell you something. That's grace. That he sees me like that, that's grace. But I need that. I need to understand what he loves, what he's overwhelmed with. Not with what I think I need to bring. Not what I think I need to be. I need to hear who he tells me who I am in Christ. I need to hear him tell me that. Now, that's what the bride knows. She knows that it's all him. She knows that it's all by him. And she knows that it's grace alone that supplies everything. Now, within this precious kiss, specifically, it also means to equip with weapons and weapons to fight. And I thought, again, as the Lord graced this to our hearts, Lord, how fitting, because the Apostle Paul, he writes of this fight of love like no other writer in the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. You think about the fighting. You think about the war. You think about the warfare. Over and over through the epistles that Paul writes, this is brought out again and again about this war and warring. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and this is him telling Timothy, Timothy, this charge I commit unto you, the son Timothy, according, and listen to this, to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Did you hear that? It said that he would war a good warfare. And that, how does that happen? Holding faith. And I love that. That translates to have and to hold. That's marriage dialogue. See, with this faith we have, brothers and sisters, this is the faith of the bride and the bridegroom. This is to have and to hold him. This is to have and to hold me. This is the wedlock divine that we have. This means joined. And then that good conscience, it even goes to another level. That means a mindset of a noble one. A mindset of a king. That's what that is. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about perfect-hearted kings. That's what this is. Where is your mindset? Were you born Lord of all? Praise the Lord. Galatians 4:1 assures every child of God is not born a servant. No, you don't grow from a servant into a king. You're born Lord of all. You have every bit of that DNA to rule and to reign jointly together with him. Praise God. And thank you, Jesus, that this is what we feed upon to grow up fully. We're not going to despise our birthright. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Turn on over there. We know this very well. This is Paul. Praise God. His cry of victory. Moments before he sees his beloved bridegroom face to face. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, thanks be to God, he fought a good fight. And it was all, praise God, to apprehend the one thing that he even speaks of over there in Philippians, where he said, "If by any means I might attain to that out resurrection." Praise the Lord. Everything, brothers and sisters, was about that crown glory. And it truly was, because he knew that that was the highest honor he could ever give to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The highest honor that I would only be found having his righteousness. You live a life of that, praise be to God. It's the life of crown glory. It's the life, praise God, of the vessel of mercy who will be bestowed all the riches of his glory. And we thank God that this is what we have been called into, because it says, "Unto all them also that love his appearing." And see, we love his appearing in everything, don't we? We love his appearing to the extent that we too only want to be found having his righteousness. That's his appearing. You don't want to appear. We want to be transparent by the grace of God. And why not? The very life of Christ lives in you. It's the only life you have. And we thank God that that life, living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, lives to the fullest of that glory, as it takes all faith, complete faith, as there's no doubt, it's immediate. The Lord said it, and it's so, and it's mine, and it's done. And I thank God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, glorious. In verses 12 and 13. And I'm thankful that he tells us these things, because without them, we would be a wreck. It says in verse 12 of chapter 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't fear what man could do unto us. And that's not who we're wrestling against. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And here you go. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And how did that all begin? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to encourage, and this is how we encourage. Brothers and sisters, aren't you thankful that you know you're in love because you fight? I know I'm in love because I fight. And I'm telling you, I fight against, and you know what I fight against? I fight against what I think. I fight against what I feel. I fight against what I see. I'm fighting by the grace of God to get past all that. Amen. Without love, there'll be no passion to fight. If you're not to the point of, and if you have not continued on with let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, you do not have the passion to fight. You'll fade. You won't endure. You won't know how to run. And turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This tells us right here all of these things we've been speaking of. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not. See, the verse before there, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Amen? Come on. "For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And here's what it does. It casts down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of the Word of God. Praise God. How sweet. The fight is to stay in his thoughts. The fight is to stay in the true, the good report, the lovely, on and on. Praise God. The fight is, hallelujah, Lord, just to stay who I am in Christ. Amen. And that's why faith without love, faith without love, lacks the passion of the perfect heart. What faith without love does, brothers and sisters, what it does is it goes through motions. It does. It dictates back the memorized verses. It can just dictate, it can talk, it can do those things, but it doesn't have the passion. It doesn't have the fire. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God says, I could know and speak all mysteries. I could speak with the tongue of men and angels in all of those mysteries. But if I don't have love, it doesn't profit a thing. God, really help us to really come to terms with this. And where do we need to turn to? Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. He's got the answer for you. Just let him go at you. Let him go at you. Surrender to his love. Submit to him. Yes. See, by faith and faith with love, that's fire. That's real fire, and it is. And I thank God we have been in a meeting for years and years and years. We're in the presence of faith with fire. Yes, we are. It's the truth. I thank God I've known of it all my life, and I have. I thank God, and I thank God it wasn't strange fire. I thank God, praise the Lord, it was the power of his might fire. I thank the Lord, it's a love that truly it's inhibited. It's the love of David. It's the love, praise God, that you're so overwhelmed and so in love that you can't contain it. You can't help but praise the Lord. You can't help but dance before God. You can't help but dance before God and get pretty unclothed. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who's around you, because they all disappeared because it's just you and the lover of your soul. And how glorious that is. How thankful to God when we have that power of love and those fiery kisses that cause our hearts to believe him like that. Now, I love this. She tells him, kiss me. That's a pretty brazen woman. I think back in the day they'd say, well, that's a hussy or whatever, I guess, huh? She shouldn't talk like that. She should play hard to get. She should do. Let me tell you something. Let him love you. Let him love on you. I'm thankful. Really, saints, I mean, you look at this. Go on back there. See how she tells him? See, the grace of God will put you in harmony with him. I have a wife back there. She'll tell me what to do. She will. Because she knows what we need. She knows what's good for me too. The word of God says the virtuous woman, it says, the heart of the husband doth trust in her. This woman here, how dare her? Huh? Verse 2, let him kiss me. Verse 4, draw me. Verse 7, tell me. She can communicate. And she lets her heart be made known. But think of how she's letting her heart be made known. It's not complaining. Oh, no, it's not. Everything she's telling him, I love you so much. And I love you so much because it's all because of you. You're the one that has brought this out of me. You're the one that has changed me. All of what you've done for me has made me the man, the woman that I could never be. So she tells him, kiss me, draw me, tell me. Her heart demands the more grace. Grace for grace. I want that grace. Her heart demands to hear him say, my desire is toward you. I'm telling you, sometimes, saints, in your relationships, you need to tell the other what you need to hear. And we're just people. But think about this in the Lord. Think about this in the Lord. He wants us to tell him that. Oh, Jesus, tell me that you love me. Let me hear those words. Come on. When you're amorous for someone, you don't just give your life for someone. You'll live your life for that one, won't you? Yeah, you'll get in the trenches. You'll get in the hard times. Those heartbreaking moments, couples, you know what happens. You draw closer. You draw closer. The other has to pick up the other and take them on sometimes. And vice versa. We know how this works. But see, it's his kisses, she says here. It exceeds any pleasure, any intoxication. That's what the wine comparison in there is. For thy love is better than wine. Nothing compares. Isn't that glorious? I want to hear him tell me, pour the wine in me. Isn't that glorious? See, that's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? See, we're that new wineskin, but see, we need to have that wine poured in, and that wine poured in, expand me. I was looking that up. The word wine is 231 times in the Bible, 231. The number 200 means to prove, and the number 31 is offspring or fruitfulness. So 231 times means to prove fruitfulness. Prove it in me, Lord. Amen. Keep pouring it in. Hallelujah. Isn't that why it takes you out for 40 years in a wilderness? To prove? To prove that we love him. Now let's wrap this up. We could keep going and going and going, because this describes everything of who we are throughout all of these mysteries, throughout all of the Word of God. Turn on over to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13. This speaks of the four living ones, brothers and sisters. This is a vision of the four living ones that you have there in Revelation 4. Those four living ones, which is the bridal company that is right there in the midst of the throne. Praise be to God, ruling and reigning with him, giving him glory. Well, look what it says in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13 about these ones. And for the likeness of the four living ones, or the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Oh, praise the Lord. You talk about the power of the love of God. These burning lamps. You know the word of God. You've got the cherubim here, or the four living ones. They're also called the seraphim. All right? Well, the word or the name seraphim, it means burning one. We always need more. If you don't know this, you know how it starts. You know where you need to be. Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. I may not understand this. And I was thinking, you know, some of us might think a little bit more highly of us than others. I don't think any of us knew how to kiss. You just got to kiss. He'll teach you. He'll teach you. You just got to kiss. Now, is it any wonder why Paul says, let's turn to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He's about ready to go. He says, son, the Lord's chosen you. You're it. I know you don't think so. I didn't either. But you're it, Timothy. And here's what he tells him. He doesn't tell him to go off to Bible school, Bible college, seminary, whatever it is. He doesn't tell him, well, you got to shape up. You better, you know, hang around this guy or that guy or whatever. Here's what Paul tells him in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, what's going to take care of that? Stir it up. You know what that means, don't you? Kindle it up. Inflame it up. Inflame what? That gift, the Holy Ghost, the grace, the love of God. Aren't you grateful to God? Hallelujah. This is what we need, praise the Lord, to go on to even understand who we are in Christ. See, when this happens, when we allow this all to be, kiss me, Lord, allow the Holy Ghost to stir it up in me, cause me to be the true worshiper, that one that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss you, that's the Holy Ghost. This is why I need it, because I better get out of fear, doubt, indifference, insecurity. Come on. These are all things. I'm describing us, but for God. I'm describing, let me tell you something, our flesh. We're weak. But that's not the spirit that we've been given. We have the spirit of power. We have the spirit of love. We have a spirit of a sound mind. Well, praise be to God, that's Jesus. And that's the spirit we have. And it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need that love to go on. When he says, I've come for your words, when you said, I will go, Lord, you need to kiss me more and more all the way along. There can't be a moment, as it says in verse 8, that I would be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner of Christ. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The power of God. You take those afflictions of the gospel according or with the power of God. Do you see that? We're talking about the resurrection power. We're talking about you're taking those joint sufferings with him. The love power of God. And here it all is. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. You saw that movie. We had him at Hello. He saw us in love in ages past. It was her all along. It was King Ahasuerus when he went in to see the woman. Where are the other women? All I see is Esther. It's her. Everybody else disappeared. It took, literally, 15 seconds. And it was done. At that moment, praise God, his love for her exceeded all the other women. He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Think of that. The purpose and the grace which was given to us before anything began. The purpose and the grace that was given to us to perform it all, that had done it all, that had finished it all. That here we would be tonight, rejoicing, praise God, that he will perform it. That thanks be to God, it was just like the Son of God given to us to be made manifest. It was already done. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, but he was given to us for it to be made manifest. Can you not see that you were given to him for it to be made manifest? Honey, it's the same. We are now the sons of God. The same life. I'm not going to be around the glory. I'm not going to have a crown. I'm not going to have a throne. That's a wonderful place that the friends of the bridegroom will have. Our calling is we will be his glory.
Amen.
We will be in his throne.
Yes.
And we will share his crown.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll stop with that. I think he gave us a few kisses tonight. What do you think, huh? Oh, praise God. And I don't know how he's going to lead, but I know that next verse is about a name. It's our ointment. It's his. This is just all coming forth very fast now. And it's, this is us in Christ. This is ours, Jesus. This is everything that you set forth for us. And now here we are at this table. We're partaking in it with him together, enjoying it. He enjoying us and we enjoying him. He waited for this. He waited for this. He waited. And in a moment, it's just going to be, and you're going to be made sight.
Hallelujah.
we're just going to see and move right into what we know. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand, be dismissed.